we started the morning in Kaka'ako at Box Jelly, let's just stay there and look around a little, huh? Have you checked the new tats? I mean, that's what it's really like. They're like tattoos springing up on the walls after powwow. Everybody's kind of blinking, you know, the night after. It's a lot of tight new work on the walls. And I thought today we'd check in with someone who knows this scene because he was there at the start of it from a completely different angle. I'd like you to meet developer Christian O'Connor, who helped arrange the very first legit street mural in Kaka'ako.
Now they're making money. They've been able to create a living wage off the success of powwow, and a lot of local artists and international artists are making more than a living wage and being able to provide for their families doing art where they couldn't before, you know?
Well, the art's getting better all the time, and developers like you are liking it.
And you see, like, powwow is starting to touch our urban fabric in different ways. I think Stanford Card did a really great job with their asset that's across from Ala Moana Shopping Center. There's bold graffiti art where Kamehameha Schools decided to truly embrace, you know, that edgy art when they put it on 680 Ala Moana, which is the 54 residential units there. Those murals, people, we have to pay for, you know, developers. It's changed our runs, our bus routes, our walks. I see couples from out of town take wedding pictures against urban art on Oahu or Pohukaina, you know, and it's just wild. It's wild.
I met you about 10 years ago when you first started working with Kamehameha School. So could we go back to that? Could you tell me what was your position and what was your mission then? And when was that?
Oh, gosh. I think I came in 2008, in August 2008, and I came from Muscat, Oman. I was working in real estate development there. And I have two little, at the time I had one Hawaiian kid, Benjamin O'Connor, and then I ended up having another, Farah. And so their mother wasn't going to live in the Middle East and is Hawaiian and graduated from Kamehameha in 95. So I really didn't understand at the time that I was kind of pulling us in a direction of losing battles. So I ended up moving here and got the opportunity to work for Kamehameha in 2008. And that was just after this big recession. So I was the senior asset manager working in Kaka'ako and a little bit in Kaneohe, managing some ground leases over there, but mostly focused in Kaka'ako. And so we had this amazing community. We had 50 acres of land. Kamehameha has 50 acres of land there. 28 acres was in the process of being entitled when I joined. But we were going, you know, at that time we were going through this major economic contraction across the globe, really, and so it affected everything, and so everything slowed down dramatically, and nobody really knew where to get any money to do any kind of projects or work at the time.
Dive you for me with your past experiences.
Oh yeah, so I was coming from, and this sounds bad, but I was coming from Oman and Dubai, and we were just dreaming, you know. We were just, everybody had to dream bigger than the next guy, because that's really where the competition was happening. It was like, at the time, you were going to make the money, so you just had to compete and be cooler, neater, sexier than the next guy. So when we got to Kaka'ako, and I got here, and I was like, I was excited to be home to raise my kids, and everything was going to work out, but I was like, oh man, I've got like the ugliest light industrial district in the city. And I went from these visions in the sky to like, oh my God. And no, and don't get me wrong, it was just old light industrial, and it's not brick, right? It's not like old light industrial in Chicago or old light industrial in San Francisco where it's like, wow, we've got like bombed out Quonset huts that could just fall over if you lean. Yeah, if you could lean on them. And so initially it was like, what am I doing here? You know, how am I going to do this? That was the first take, you know.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. But you had models. I mean, describe how this model works.
Like, what do you mean?
How you can take a neighborhood and begin to seed it and start getting it rolling.
Oh, well, some of that, like my mom is an urban planner, okay? And she worked on this thing called the Hyattsville Gateway Arts District, and it's in Prince George's County, Maryland. In Prince George's County, they had terrible crime issues and a lot of drug distribution and production. So I watched my mother from the 1980s through the 90s through the 2000s until she retired, just change the zoning, work with the politicians, change the use types. And what happened was, is as this change happened in the District of Columbia, all the artists started to come and root themselves in this area because they had live-work zoning. They could live and work in older industrial buildings that normally wouldn't have been allowed to do that. and really working off of like a Soho model or a Bronzeville model or some of the other models we've seen in other areas that have naturally occurred with the LGBT communities and the artist communities typically move into districts. They create really neat expressions. They make it safe, and then people move in because it's safer. So really just looking at how art plays a role in that, very interesting for us to see art already happening in Kaka'ako at Fresh Cafe and other things, and then just taking that art, those concepts, and then just kind of giving them a little bit of wind, a little bit of an opportunity to see how art could help reshape and change everything in Kaka'ako.
What did you want in there?
I think initially what's really exciting about doing redevelopment work or developing a district that is a different use, we get an opportunity as asset managers or real estate people. It's like urban gardening for us. And, you know, like beautiful gardens make beautiful places where you have like different types of plants that bring different.
Yeah, and I noticed you planted some pretty great breweries down there early on.
Yeah, or like Pico's a succulent, right? I mean, it's literally a plant place, but it attracts a certain demographic. So it's really fun to work and really create that appropriate, or look to create that mix that's kind of exciting and fun.
So you gave incentives for these certain kinds of businesses or what?
Well, yeah. So what the great point about knocking everything down and changing things is because of all that drama and intense work that happens on your streets and roadways, you know, it's not an ideal time to charge somebody full rent, you know, and try to maximize your return on the space. And I think what we found and learned is that while we're about to go through these intense activities of construction, it gives us a really good opportunity to, you know, nurture small ideas and concepts at very light rents, very low rents. So there has to be a little bit of something because everybody needs to pay for what they're doing. But it also gives an opportunity to say, hey, take this space. You know, I think R&D Cafe was great with Ben Trevino, Wei Fang, and their crew of people, you know, or Whole Ox Deli, you know, which was a great concept. It didn't end up working out in Stain, but it was fun to try it. And so there's so many things where you nurtured ideas and the trust made a decision. It, you know, it's a team of people make these decisions, but everybody made a decision to really find great ideas, seed those ideas, and see if they work out. And if they work out, then let's roll them into the final vision of SALT, or let's move them down to another location where we can have their rents.
Oh, really? So the idea isn't just to develop then and then raise the rents and then have them leave?
Right. It's to cultivate and hold on to them.
Really?
I think that's generally the game plan over time. I mean, you got to understand, you know, especially with Kamehameha's perspective and just people's perspectives in general as you live here and learn, like how to think about our place and our space and place and how we're supposed to be here. But you really want to nurture and grow innovative businesses because they're that future for us here. So the beauty of that moment in real estate development time where you are going to redevelop it, but you get to give people a shot, is they get to run with their own vision without a lot of control. And so sometimes you get some wild stuff that you're like, ooh, that's not going to work, and it doesn't, you know? But a lot of times you really get some neat deliveries of really interesting ideas that change everything for us, you know?
But what is the master plan for that Eva of Ward?
Yeah, no, I think the master plan has always been, you know, 4.4 million square feet, you know.
Of what? What do you
mean? I mean, of residential and retail space with some light industrial. I think it is that. It will be that. I think the idea is a walkable, urban, vibrant, filled community where a lot of the stuff that's created in the community gets installed within the community. And I think Kamehameha Schools in particular had a great vision and idea where, you know, the whole idea really is that we build up all this stuff. We, you know, you build housing, you build a space for different businesses to survive and live and grow. And then you try to keep those dollars going from one block to the next block, from one block to the next. So if I'm a retail space coming in and I want some cool signage done, I go to Lana Lane and I say, hey, Lana Lane, I need some help with this. And so that transaction really happens from one block to another. And what's really cool about all these local businesses being there is that dollar then stays in the state and it stays in the city and it cycles maybe once, maybe a couple times, but it's just going block to block to block. And I think that's super exciting. And I think that's really a a bigger, broader vision of what you hear and what we want is this idea that our money flows to our local community members. They produce beautiful things that we enjoy. And then we put those things up and we honor them or we sell them onward to someone else, you know? And I think, I mean, a lot of the roots of the concepts really boil down to this idea. Can we keep our money here? Can we keep our value here? Can we work together to create even more value? And then can we monetize that and create a living wage for all of us? You know, and I think that's really the roots of a lot of what was happening. Yeah.
Pretty neat, huh? According to Christian, real estate developers want to cultivate local options. I mean, because they know everybody's looking for a genuine experience, a genuine expression. And one way to get that is nurturing it in place. How's that? O'Connor points out that this year's powwow had 45 local artists out of about 100 participating, and it did not start out that way. A generation of artists who designed tattoos, fabric, graphic media, corporate interiors, and street murals, they're coming on up here in Honolulu. Christian O'Connor left Kamehameha Schools in 2014. He now works on affordable housing developments with City Center LLC. Think that's maybe a tough job? Let's find out how tough sometime soon. Neighbor Island Ohana, you gotta bear with us here on Oahu because we're trying to figure out how to be Honolulu right now. The National Community Survey shows a 20-point drop in Honolulu's quality of life rating. I mean, that's us rating our own lives. A quarter of the people here think they'll be gone in 5 years. We're figuring this out. I like how Dehan puts it in his 2020 release. It's called Blue. Just came out. Drummer, Dehan, living, working now in Honolulu. We're figuring this out.